But we did talk about the glorious resurrection of our Savior. So, you know, this thing is a, I hate to use the word religion, but it's a religion of life. It's not a religion of coldness, not a religion of death, not a religion of just some kind of sanctimonious and high and holy and rites and rituals, but this is something that gives life and gives it evermore. Amen? I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning, please. Look with me in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. The Gospel of John, chapter number 10. And let's just read a little bit this morning, if you will, and think about some things today. And we'll talk about the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd and his sheep. Look in John chapter 10, verse number 1. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for today. Thank you again for the goodness of this day and the blessings of it. And I pray now you just continue to speak to us and give us your grace and your mercy here this morning. Help us to know that. Just give us your goodness. And, Lord, I pray for somebody this morning that needs you as their Savior. Speak to their heart. Show them that you're still the good shepherd. You still love the sheep. You're still there for them and to bring them into the fold. And God, we'll thank you for everything that you do today. We'll just give you praise and worship for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you to notice with me, if you will, as we look at these things that, about Jesus and the sheep and the shepherd. Now, you realize that Jesus, as he began this chapter, he began it as telling a parable. He told a story. And, you know, we've talked about that before, about what a parable is. Parable is simply a heavenly story or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is something that you tell as in something that relates to what everybody probably knows. But there's a deeper meaning than that that has a spiritual application. And that's what Jesus is telling them. And finally, when nobody's kind of getting it, Jesus begins to tell them who he is. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd that loves his sheep, and you are the sheep as you follow me. Thank God. He began to tell them all about those things that they needed to know. Now, I think you and I have caught a lot of this today. We understand it, but as you look at this chapter, you see that Jesus tells us and tells them, he says, first of all, that he is the door to and for the sheep. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door. Not only that, he said, I want you to know there are some deceivers that will try to deceive the sheep. Amen? I mean, there's some out there that are trying whatever and however and something else other than a gospel way for people to get to heaven. There is no other way, right? Amen. He said, there's the deceivers of the sheep. And then he said, I want you to know I have laid out a design for spiritual life. He said, I've come, he said, so that you might have life and that you might have it, what did he say? More abundantly. He said, I've come so that you can have that good life. Verse number 10, thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life. I mean, Jesus said that he came give us the design of spiritual life. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that word abundantly means bigger, better. I mean, larger than what you and I even think or imagine. And then Jesus said this. He said, I want you to know, I'm the shepherd. He talks about the devotion of the shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd that loves the sheep. I'm the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. I'm the shepherd that, man, that watches over the entirety of this flock. As a matter of fact, you look in verse number 16, he said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There is but one shepherd. Amen. And you and I don't need to listen to any other voices. But I want you to look at some stuff this morning with me, if you will, as we talk about the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd and his sheep. First of all, I want you to see the knowing of the sheep. Aren't you glad today you got a shepherd that knows you? Amen. I mean, I don't understand all about that shepherding thing. I don't know. I've read books and probably seen a little bit of it in life. But do you know that a shepherd knows his sheep? Amen. He knows those that are his. I mean, it's kind of strange to us sometimes, but let me just tell you, I mean, it's like a lot of you in this room. You probably got dogs and cats and maybe some other kind of animal. I know Miss Barbara's got some goats and whatever down there where she lives and got chickens and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? People that have those things, they know those that are theirs. Thank God, aren't you glad we got a shepherd that knows us? We got somebody today that knows who we are. He knows you. He knows you. As a matter of fact, we'll look at this here in a minute. Not only does he know you, he knows your name. Amen. He knows. Hey, can I tell you, when you and I realize that he is our shepherd and he knows us, but man, aren't you glad that you know him? That you know him. Can I tell you about knowing him? Here's some things I need for you and you and I need to understand. First of all, when we know him, Jesus says here that his sheep recognize his voice. You recognize his voice. I guarantee we can take this whole room of just separate the ladies out for a minute and take a bunch of ladies that have children. I guarantee you some of them mamas can hear one of them kids crying and say, oh boy, that one's mine. I know it. Why? They know that voice. They know that voice. I'm telling you, thank God when Jesus begins to speak, I know his voice. Boy, aren't you glad you know? Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes before we really get to know him, we might not understand. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to speak to your heart. If you're here today and he has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit, listen, because that is his voice drawing you and bringing you and calling for you. Amen. We can recognize his voice. Jesus says here that his sheep know his voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Do you know that sometimes in the Middle Eastern areas where there's a lot of shepherding that goes on, that's one way when somebody says, hey, that sheep is mine, and somebody says, no, it's mine. You know what they do to settle that? They bring those sheep that are in question. They bring them out into the middle maybe of a pasture and they put one shepherd on one side, one shepherd on the other. And you know what? Hey, when those shepherds begin to call those sheep and the sheep hear them, they'll go to the one that they know his voice. Can I tell you that's the way it is with me and you? When we get saved, we know his voice. You remember the story, we didn't get into it last week in Easter, but probably somebody did, the story where Jesus has risen and the women are early at the tomb, and the Bible talks about after kind of some of the commotion dies down, Mary is there by herself and she's still weeping, she's still worried, she don't know where Jesus is, and she sees a guy over by the way through her tears, and she supposes him to be the gardener. And she goes over and says, "Sir, tell me where you've taken him." And you know what? Jesus, it's Jesus. But he says one word to her. He says, "Mary." And she immediately realizes that it's him. Amen. Isn't it good when you know that it's him? When you're sitting there in the middle of your turmoil and your strife and your worry and your pain and you're just not sure, and then you hear his voice when he speaks, thank God, aren't you glad? You know that voice. Amen. You know that voice. You can recognize his voice. As a shepherd, I mean, there is a thing about him knowing us, but boy, aren't you glad that we can know him and we can recognize his voice. Not only do we recognize his voice, but man, that gives us a license to do this. We ought to run toward where he is. We ought to go. He said, "Those sheep will hear my voice and they'll not follow some. They'll come and they'll follow me." Amen. When Jesus is calling, when Jesus is dealing, when Jesus is working, he'll call you to himself. Amen. Amen. You can go throughout your Bible and you can find different people that the Lord called. And you know what they did? Well, matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Matthew left the tax receipt office and followed Jesus. The Bible tells us that Philip, in the very first chapter of the book of John, that when Jesus came back, Jesus said, "Follow me." And old Philip just left everything, followed him. Hey, there's Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And he said, "Fellas, I'm going to make you fisher of men." They left behind their nets and their boats and they just followed him. I'm saying you want to run to him when he calls you. When you recognize his voice, you'll run after him. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, little sheep understand that. You know, we talk about them being dumb animals, but they're smarter than a lot of us. Amen. Sometimes we run after the silliest. We run after the confusion. We run after the chaotic. We run after all the mess in this world. But what, oh, isn't it sweet when you hear his voice? When you're in the middle of whatever is going on in your life and you hear that voice. As the songwriter said, "He speaks sweet peace to me." Amen. Woo, I'm glad he can do that. And we can recognize his voice. We can run and we will run toward his voice. And then I want you to know this. We will reject any other voices. I mean, we run from it. Do you ever get that? You ever been, I've watched, you know, watched somebody on television or listened to somebody on radio, and I think, boy, this don't sound quite right. I mean, they're reading and they start maybe saying something about the scriptures or what, and you think, that just don't sound right. I mean, it just, you know why? Because it's not right. And those that know the voice of their shepherd will run to him and they'll reject some of that other junk. You hear some of these guys on here says, "Oh, well, God wants you to be healthy and he wants you to be wealthy and he wants you to have everything and never suffer any pain." You better listen to that and say, "Hey, that doesn't sound like my Bible." Amen. You better reject that kind of junk. I know God wants to bless us and that he will and that he takes care of us. I understand that. But I'm telling you, there's some of this garbage out there that, buddy, you don't run after it because it's not right. Reject that stuff as the good sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to run after everything that says preacher ain't a preacher. Everything that says church ain't a church, okay? I mean, everything that tries to represent itself in the name of Christianity, it's not, amen? A lot of it is crazy, crazy, crazy. And don't you believe everything. Reject that stuff. A good sheep that knows his voice will turn his head up and say, "That ain't right," and get back down and start eating some more. Amen? I mean, he'll know who to listen to, and he'll know who to turn from. So, first of all, you know, you understand there's this thing about knowing him and the knowing of the sheep. The sheep know some things. But second of all, let's look at this and know about the names, the naming of the sheep. Do you see that there in verse number 3 where Jesus is speaking? He says, to him the porter openeth, and his sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Amen? I mean, again, those of you that's got animals, you got names for them, don't you? Amen? Let me tell y'all something. When I was a kid, my daddy used to have a bunch of beagle dogs. I mean, there's a pen full of them. And I always thought it was hilarious the way daddy named them. He had 4 dogs that he'd gotten at one time, and they were named, get ready, Fred, Wilma, Barney, and Betty. The Flintstones was at my house. Amen. I mean, they were there. And daddy had, and I thought, how in the world did he come up with that? We had another one that was an older dog, and he called him Sarge. Because he was older, and he's kind of gray looking and all. And he called him Sarge. He had another one that had 3 legs that could outrun any of the other ones. All right? He was missing a leg, and he called him Flip. And I reckon that's because that's what he'd done every once in a while. Took a flip, run over something. But I mean, he had all these dogs. And, you know, and I'm like, that's just a pack of rah, 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 you know, that's all it was. But he knew every one of them by name. There would be days that, nights, those dogs would start barking at something during the middle of the night. Our bedroom was toward the back of the house, me and my brother, and we had sliding windows in the back. Daddy come back there and you'd hear him slide. He'd say, "Hey, Fred, shut up!" I'd wake up and I'd say, "What are you?" He said, "He's barking. He needs to calm down." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "I know who it is." And then every once in a while, he'd say, "Don't make me come out here." And I'm like, that's hilarious, right? But that's what he was. And he knew who it was the troublemaker. I mean, he knew who it was. Isn't that amazing? He had given them all a name. You know what we do, what we tend to do? We tend to give names by characteristics. You know, some of y'all probably got a dog that's, you know, black and white. Y'all seen some of them? Oh, where you go? We're going to name him Oreo. Amen? I mean, hey, black on edges and white in the middle. Name him Oreo. Okay, I got that. And then some of them got a big ring around their face or something. Well, we'll call him Spot. I mean, you know, we got these little names. Aren't you glad the Lord knows you? And I don't know what your pet name. Mine's probably Knucklehead. Amen. Hey, Knucklehead, what are you doing down there sometimes? But let me just tell you, the Lord knows us by name. Aren't you glad? He knows your name here today. I mean, there's nowhere you can go. David said, if I was to make my bed in hell, you're there. You know me and you know who I am. You know where I am. You know everything about me. Aren't you glad you've got a Savior? Oh, listen, the shepherds can go out and call their sheep by name, and those sheep know their name. And they know, and as I say, we say dumb animals, but can I tell you, you go home. There's some of you that are multiple dog owners, right? You got several. I think me and Sister Beth talking about this morning. And you got more than one. Do you know what? You can call one of them, and that other one stand there like, "Who ain't talking to me?" They know the other one's getting got on to or whatever. I'm just telling you, friend. Hey, they know that name. Aren't you glad as the dumb little sheep of the Lord that we know our name when He calls upon us? Amen. I mean, there's this name. He knows you. He knows you by your name. Thank God. Listen, I mean, do you know that sometimes when He calls, He changes some names? You ever see that? You can go in your Bible, and I think it's in the very first part of the book of John. Jesus is calling His disciples, and He talks to Andrew. And Andrew calls his brother, Simon Peter. He calls, and Jesus looks at him and said, "Thy name shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Jesus changed His name. What about that? Can I tell you, He changed my name when I got saved. Amen. I was that old rotten, sinning, stinking, filthy, good for nothing. But He changed me into a child of the King. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad He can still change names today? He can change those from the vilest to some of the sweetest. He can change them from wickedness to righteousness. That's the kind of name changing that my Lord is able to do. He can change people and change their name, change a lot of things. But, woo, ain't that good? Amen. He changes our names. Not only does he change your name, but can you believe this? He will choose you by your name. Do you know that when he comes to somebody, you remember here in Acts chapter number 9, Paul's walking along. Paul's walking along, and all of a sudden, that boy, he's, you know, big and bad, and he's got them papers in his pocket, and he's going to go put some Christians in jail. And all of a sudden, the Lord knocks him down on the road. And what does he say? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what does Saul say? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, and I got your name and number, and I'm working on your life. You remember what he told Ananias there in the city after Paul is, you know, going through all of this and talking, and Ananias, the Lord tells him, I want you to go pray for Saul. He said, Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed. He said, Lord, don't you know who that is? And the Lord said, yeah, I know who it is. He said, but he is chosen of me. Can I tell you, when God chooses you, he chooses you by name. Amen? Are you not impressed that God knows your name? He knows who you are here today. I don't care if you're sitting over here, if you're sitting over there, you're sitting up front, if you're sitting in the back. It doesn't matter. God knows who you are, where you are, and he knows all about you. Thank God for that. Amen? Over in the 139th Psalm, David talks about that God knew about you rising up and you sitting down. When you was in your mother's womb, he knew you. I mean, listen, he told Jeremiah, he said, before you was ever born, I'd already called you to be a prophet. And you ain't even got here. I'm just telling you, God knows more about it, and he chooses to call you by name. But can I tell you this? I love it to know that one day God charted down my name in heaven. He pulled out that book, the big old book of life, and the disciples, you remember over in Luke chapter number 10, I think it is, they're talking about, well, the devils are subject to us in your name. He said, don't get excited about that. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven, and you know, like lightning from heaven, and saw him descend there. He said, don't get all excited about that. He said, I want to tell you this. Rather, he said, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Woo! When he recorded your name in heaven, he did it by your name. The other day, Brother Ronnie was kind of teaching on some of this in our Sunday school class, something along this line. He said, I'm sure there's some other Ronnie Birds that have been born, that will be born, and that may even be alive now. But when he calls my name, I'll know he's talking to me. Can I tell you, you'll know when he writes your name down. Oh, listen, the Lord said, don't get excited about all these other things that happen. But man, that your name is recorded in heaven. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. The knowing of the sheep. The naming of the sheep. I want you to look at one more thing with me, if you will. Let's look at the never leaving of the sheep. There's somebody that'll never leave you. Look what it says over in the book of Hebrews. If you want to flip over Hebrews chapter number 13. And Paul writes and says this. In verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll go with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Amen. Amen? Jesus is going. Listen, the sheep are never left alone. You see what Jesus talks about here in this side of the scripture? I mean, he talks about how that there are those that he's calling hirelings, and he says the hireling does this. Look what he says in verse number 11. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, but he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, who's on the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Do you know there's some that just don't care about God's sheep? But can I tell you, Jesus said, don't worry about it, little sheep. I'm never going to leave you. I'll never, never, ever, no, not ever, leave you. Amen? Oh, listen. There's an old song that said, never alone. You ever heard that? No, never alone. No, never alone. Jesus promised to lead me. No, never alone. Amen. He's never going to leave me and you alone. He's going to be there with us at all times. Why? Because we need somebody to protect us, don't we? We need somebody to protect us. Thank God. You know what David said in the 23rd Psalm? He said, he's the my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He said, even though wherever I am, he said, he'll be with me. His rod and his staff, they cover me. Even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thank God, I'll never leave you. I'll never. Things can get bad in this life. Things can get tough in this life. Times can get hard in this life. But you know what you've got the promise of? He'll never leave you. You need somebody because he has promised never to leave you. He'll protect you. I mean, it's the protection that he protects us. I mean, from everything that there is here in this life that comes. He, as I said, the psalmist said, thou art with me. Not only that, man, listen, he promises to die for us. He promised that he would die for the sheep. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you realize that today, that Jesus has given his life for you? We're just some little old insignificant, amounting to nothing sheep. But thank God there's a shepherd that said, Father, I'll go and die for them. Amen. Today. I'll go and I'll give my life so that they can have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, aren't you glad? One of these days, listen, he's going to promote me and you to be at home with him in heaven. He said, I'll never leave. As a matter of fact, he told his disciples there in John 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place. He said, and if I go, I will come again and bring you unto myself. Right. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, in those last few verses, you know, where he talks about that, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as we have no hope. At the end of it, he says that Jesus is coming back one of these days in the clouds. And those that are in the grave are going to come up first. They shall not prevent. In other words, they won't get there before we do, or outdo us. We'll all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Boy, there's nothing that brings any more comfort. I'll tell you, one of the worst things, and you pick you up a psychology book, you pick you up a book on aging, you talk to some of the folks that are there in the nursing homes, and you know what they'll tell you? The number one thing about anybody as they get age and as they go through the years, and maybe as I say, some of these folks in nursing homes or facilities, the thing they dread the most is loneliness. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And you know, that's what every one of us in this room, whether you realize it or not, that's what you fear. I remember when my kids were little, they'd come through the house sometime and find me and, you know, in a living room or the kitchen or wherever I was, and they'd come and they'd find me. And I'd say, what do you need? Nothing. Nothing. They just want to know there was somebody there. It's that fear. It's on the inside of us of being alone. You ever see people sometimes that will tell you, I was with so-and-so when they died because I didn't want them to die alone. I mean, sometimes folks, they're not afraid of dying. They just don't want to be alone. Can I tell you, that's the worst feeling that there is that you're alone. Alone. Can I tell you, that's what it's going to be in hell? I don't care what anybody, there will be no parties in hell. There will be no buddies in hell. There will be no good times and all of that in hell. It'll be a place of separation. And I believe that's part of hell, is that it's a place where you're alone. You may hear the distant screams and cries of others, but you're going to be separated and alone and separated from God forever. And that's part of the glories of heaven and this afterlife. We're going to be together. John said, I saw a number 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they're all together singing. They're all together praising. They're all together worshiping. Worthy is the Lamb. We're all there together. But can I tell you, in hell, it's a place of separation. It's a place of loneliness. And as I said, the worst thing there is being alone. Aren't you glad Jesus told us that are saved, I'll never, never leave you alone. Even though John was on the Isle of Patmos. And everybody thought, oh, he's out there by himself. He's going to have to die alone. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Guess who was there? The Lord showed up with me. Paul said, when I stood before Caesar at my first answer, no man stood with me. He said, but nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. Boy, aren't you glad he'll never leave you alone? Daniel was in that den of lions, wasn't he? But you know who showed up there with him? An angel from the Lord. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about being alone when you're his. Do you feel that loneliness today? Do you feel that place of separation? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this morning. Are you here today, and that fear and that dread for you is that? Are you alone? Sometimes you can even be surrounded by some people and still have that lonely feeling, that aloneness, that separation, that I just don't want it to be like this. And I'll tell you this. The morning that Sister Judy died, which has been just a little over 4 years ago now, the thing that she kept repeating to me, she knew that a lot of times she couldn't tell about times, she wasn't real sure about what, but she knew that I'd go to church. And she looked at me that morning and said, are you going to leave? And I grabbed her by the hand and I said, honey, I'm not leaving you. Then after a little while, she'd say, are you going to leave? And I said, no, I'm not going to leave you. I will not leave you. I'm going to be right here. And that seemed to bring some comfort. Seemed to bring a little word of peace. You know why? That'd be any of us. That's any of us. You come to those days and you just want to know there's somebody there with you as you get ready to go. Hey, and if you're not ready this morning, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm not trying to do anything, I'm just trying to simply tell you the truth. There's coming that day when you'll stand before God and he'll say, depart from me. And there'll be outer darkness, there'll be weeping, there'll be brokenness, there'll be sorrow, there'll be pain. But can I tell you, you can fix all that this morning by coming to Christ. Let's stand, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?